I do the same thing. Honestly, if I visit a church and stuff, I'm in the back row, so I'm not picking on anybody and stuff, but it's all good. It's okay. You'll make your rounds afterwards. We got some refreshments and some coffee and things afterwards. So I want to welcome everyone this morning to this second Sunday in September. Beautiful day. We kind of endured the heat last weekend for Labor Day. Those of you guys that were at the, I'm calling it worship in the park because that's what we had in the past and stuff, but just basically the service that we had last week at Alta Loma Park was fun. We had a picnic. It was good to be with a couple other churches, at Grace Point and Hillside Community Church. So that was a fun kind of little different sort of thing, and we endured the heat. It actually was perfect, in fact. So we'll do that. We'll do that kind of stuff again, I'm sure. But even we had just finished this series over the summer called Better Together. And one of the things about that is that I think I just really, it's been a good reflection and reminder just that, you know, in the midst of kind of being a small church and you know, one of the things about South City that I've, you know, been here 10 years and I always reflect on the fact that, you know, a lot of churches are fairly small. I mean, the Catholic parishes are pretty big and that's just sort of the vibe that we have in South City. But the reality is that, you know, we are better together. And I think it's really just a real conviction of the fact that, you know, in the midst of an age and a time and all the political climate of just so much division and stuff, just that reminder that we are better together. Amen. Amen. So me having you come up a little bit closer is just, kind of that same thing. We are better together. And, I know we got two sides and stuff. Among the different changes that we're doing here at the church, besides the screens and the front and stuff, which is now done, we're going to be doing a few other things, in the next few weeks. We're going to be getting some new lighting and stuff. I know it tends to be a little bit dark here, so, Lord willing, by next week we'll be more illuminated up here on the stage and stuff. And then we're going to be working on the parking lot and some other things, possibly getting some chairs here so we'll even get you a little bit closer even. So those are just kind of things that are kind of down in the works and stuff. But for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be delving into the book of Psalms. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Psalms, it's the biggest book in the Bible. I'm deciding to use my 20, almost 30 year old Bible. It's got kind of duct taped on here and stuff, but I like this Bible, but you can see the Psalms are really this whole section here in the middle. It's like kind of a big chunk here, 150 chapters. And we're going to be looking at this book over the next 6 weeks. Pastor Dennis and I will be kind of alternating, preaching, and we're not going to be delving into the whole thing. In fact, when I was talking to my wife Alice about it, she's like, you know, 6 weeks in Psalms, you know, that seems like a long time. And I was like, 6 weeks and 150 chapters? Yeah, we're going to do 25 chapters a week, right? No. We're going to just be doing a few, we're just going to get a snippet of really what God speaks to us about, in the book of Psalms. But there's a lot of things that are really, that really speak to us about Psalms. In a lot of ways, they're songs, they're worship, they're really worship songs in a lot of ways. Many of them are written by David, King David. And you'll see if you, we're going to be looking at Psalm 139, but that's one of the Psalms that's written by David. And you just get a feel for the poetry of God's Word. I mean, there's so many different types of passages and books in the Bible that talk about history, and there's the epistles, and there's theology. And a lot of the ways what I really like about Psalms is that there really is a sense of poetry and song, and it really, Psalms really capture and speak words that sometimes we're not able to speak ourselves. You know, often we get to the point in our lives sometimes where, you know, we're like frustrated or kind of, you know, just don't have words to say to God. You know, we see all the things that we see in the world, especially these days with just natural disasters. I just feel kind of, I don't know about you, but overwhelmed by just the things that we see around us. You know, whether you want to chalk it up to climate change or just, you know, all sorts of different kind of issues and things like that. I appreciate Linda kind of really, you know, feeling the pain that people go through in the midst of having to endure these kinds of things. And so, you know, I imagine like in places like Mexico and Florida and the Caribbean and stuff, you know, believers there are using the Psalms as words to say, you know, God, I'm crying out to you. God, why is this happening to me? God, what is going on? How am I going to endure this kind of stuff? And I think we take for granted the fact that, you know, we're here, we have the comforts of, you know, being in the Bay Area. We love the Bay Area, right? You know, we don't have to endure these kinds of things. This last weekend we had like 90 degree heat. We're like, oh my gosh, this is like terrible. How am I going to endure this heat and stuff? You know, we're spoiled, right? So we just thank God for a little bit of heat and stuff, but you know, we don't have to endure a lot of the things that the rest of the world does. And we want to make sure that we don't take that very thing for granted. But especially in an age where, you know, the world feels so self-centered. There's so much stuff that goes on in this world that there's an egotism that pervades our very culture. And the prospect of really turning away from ourselves and back to a creator God is really hopefully good news. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as we delve into Psalm 139, the Psalms over the next coming weeks. Because really, it's an amazing promise that we have from God, that we are made ourselves, we are made in God's image, that we are the very imago Dei of God. I got to keep remembering to change slides here. A few little changes and stuff there. But basically, the big idea for this morning is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And that phrase, image of God, is taken from the Latin imago Dei. And if you're if you've been in the foyer, you've seen this image. This is the Michelangelo creation of man. It's sort of part of a bigger mosaic that's in the Vatican stuff. But just that idea that, you know, we are made in God's image, that God has created us, that God has given us a very identity. And, you know, sometimes we don't think about that. We just think like, oh, you know, I'm myself. I am my own person. I got to figure out things myself. And I think this psalm that we're going to be looking at this morning really is that reminder that we are made in God's image, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God knows every aspect of our being. He knows our imperfections. He knows all these aspects of who we are. And yet, even in the midst of our shortcomings, we are loved and cherished by a God, the God of the universe, who beckons us to connect with him, to go deeper with him, to be in daily communion with him. So I want to invite you to pray with me together as we delve into this psalm and hear what God has to say to us this morning. So let's pray. So Lord, I just thank you, God, for your word. And I thank you, God, for just this opportunity that we have just each and every day to be reminded of just the glory of your creation, Lord, that we are your created beings, Lord. And that can be kind of a sobering thing. That can be a humbling thing. That can be a nerve-wracking thing, Lord, just to recognize that you are the God of the universe, Lord, and that we've been created in your very image, Lord. And so we pray, God, that in the midst of the things that we feel, the things that we see, the things that we process in the world around us, Lord, that you would speak to us. That you would give us a word this morning, Lord, that would speak to our hearts, Lord, just in whatever places we find ourselves this morning, in the midst of just the joys and the challenges that we face in life, Lord, we know that you are with us, Lord. And so often, God, we confess that we don't pay attention to you. We don't see the ways in which you're working in our lives, Lord. But that doesn't take away from the fact that you are still present, God, that you are intimately involved in our lives, Lord, whether we see it or not. And so we just pray, God, that even just today we would just have just a little bit more of a sense of your presence in our lives, your sense of who we are, Lord, that you know our thoughts, that you know our very being, that you created us before we were even born in our mother's wombs, Lord. So we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We pray this all in Christ's precious and holy name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. So I'm going to do something a little different, a few things different this morning. I'm obviously preaching down here, which Pastor Dennis typically does and stuff. But I'm going to invite you to stand together. We're going to go and just read through. I'm going to be reading Psalm 139, verses 1 through 16. But I'm going to go and invite you to stand together in honor of God's word. And you can just hear kind of the poetry and the language of the psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in before and behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, for you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You may be seated. So you just get a feel for the kind of poetry and the language that the psalmist and David has in these words. And you see that throughout the Psalms. And my encouragement really is to take a look at the Psalms this week and over the course of the next 6 weeks as we continue looking at some other chapters and passages and stuff, because there's so much there. And sometimes, as I said before, you know, we find ourselves unable to use words to say to God. Even in our prayers, we say, you know, how do I express to God, you know, what's on my heart? And in a lot of ways, you know, we can just use the Psalms. I mean, back the Israelites and the Jewish people, they often just used the psalm really as a songbook. It was a way in which they would pray and they would worship, and they would just use it as songs. And that's really how we are able to intend to use it as well. So my encouragement is just to delve through the Psalms. Just read through some of the Psalms here and there. I mean, certainly this one we'll be looking at this morning some more, but throughout these next weeks, look at the different Psalms and just get a feel for the language that there that really can give voice to the things that we are unable to give voice to. Now, one of the things that I want to be delving into this morning is really just this idea of identity. The fact that, you know, we are created in God's image and we have a sense of identity that God has given to us. And yet so often in this world, you know, we allow the voices to speak into who we are, right? We just have different things that speak to us about, like, you know, our identity is found in so many different other places, whether it's our job or our family or kind of our role in our in places that we volunteer. All these things, you know, really can be very debilitating in terms of sort of who we are and our identity. And over the last couple weeks, I've been having this ongoing conversation with one of my daughters about her particular interest in this particular YouTube celebrity. Now, I don't know, people watch YouTubes and stuff, YouTube videos and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things out there, right? There's also a lot of things that can be a little bit, questionable and interesting and stuff, right? And so you can imagine sort of some of my concern that I'd have with, this young online celebrity and a teenage daughter who finds this person interesting and stuff, right? But the underlying message, this particular YouTuber, is that it's fairly positive. He wants to sort of say, you know, you can be yourself, and it's an underlying, sense of, like, you know, be who you are. Don't let others define that for you. You know, but things online can obviously be a lot more than that. There can be kind of the way that message can be communicated can be a little bit offensive, or there can be some profanity. And, you know, my daughter who, is interested in this, you know, she says, well, you know, I hear this kind of stuff, profanity at school and stuff. And I said, so what? That doesn't mean that you have to kind of, you know, allow that to sort of be something that you're, you know, drawn to. So I think just kind of looking at sort of the pros and the cons of this particular YouTuber is kind of a mixed bag. But more than anything, the concern that I have, not simply for my girls, as a parent, but really for all of us, is the degree to which we do allow those outside voices to determine who we are, to determine our very identity. And, you know, that's the thing that really I find very pervasive in our culture, right? I mean, you know, we're so defined by, you know, what people think of us. We're so defined by sort of our roles in this world, you know, whether it's, job stuff and whatever. And just as you think about your own identities, and I want to be a little interactive here. What are some of the things that you find as part of your identity? Like when you think of that word identity, what kind of comes to mind? What speaks to you about sort of who you are? Say again?
Caring.
Okay. So maybe like personality traits, you know, that could be part of our identity. What else? Okay. Your gender, being a woman, absolutely.
Your occupation.
Yeah, job stuff is very, that can define, you know, 9 to 5 kind of jobs and stuff, and everything in between. You know, that can be like a part of, like, that's who I am. I'm a teacher. I'm a construction worker. I'm a contractor. I'm a pastor. I mean, all these different things define who we are. What else? As a parent, you know, your family role. Absolutely. That's huge. Okay, if you're a teenager, if you're a kid, you're like, okay, you're really trying to navigate the world in your own sort of way, right? And that's huge. I know you got a teenager in your house, yep. What else?
Education.
Okay, education. So what you know, your knowledge, there can be pride in that, saying like, oh, I have a degree here, I know this about this, and that's who I am. I'm an expert in this particular field. What else?
Money.
Okay, your financial well-being. Yes, that's a huge one, absolutely. Okay. All right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm an athlete. I'm a celebrity. I'm whatever. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, your body, your physical. Exactly. So, but think about all those things. Each and every one of those things, you know, maybe with the exception of kind of personality traits, those things can change in an instant. Amen? I mean, those things, you know, whether it's you have money, I mean, you see this all the time. Like, people have money and all of a sudden they lose it all, right? Or, you know, your physical body, you say, like, you know, this is who I am and stuff, and then health issues kick in, and all of a sudden you're like a different person, right? Job, occupation, you get fired, boom. And all of a sudden these things change, right? And so when you think about all these different identities that we possess, the reality is that, you know, when we hold on to those identities, they can really undermine, like, our ability to really kind of have the sense of who God has wired us to be, who God has made us to be, that really should be that foundational underlying principle in just understanding who God is in our lives. Because, you know, we all possess so many different identities that can be the very underlying things that define us. You know, whether it's those jobs, a role at home, family role, as a parent, as a child, as a teenager, as a spouse, I mean, all these different things, you know, they change over time. They change over the course of our lives. And so the words of the psalmist really provide a different way that we can see ourselves. They really provide us with the breadth and the depth of a God of the universe who, quite frankly, is too wonderful for us to even comprehend. We think like, okay, God, you know, how do you define me? How do you identify who I am? And so I'm going to be kind of breaking down these kind of passages a little bit here. Okay. And I'm going to be rereading them and just kind of offering a few comments about these things. So in these first four verses, it says, "You have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my very tongue, Lord, you know it completely." So there's a sense that, you know, God knows everything. God knows all these things about us. And really, that can be something that's very comforting on the one hand. It's like, wow, you know, God knows me so intimately. You know, and I find that that's very true for just even ourselves. You know, when somebody asks you, you know, how are you doing? What's the typical response? Fine, okay? But how often are we realistically fine, right? I mean, we just sort of, it's kind of very cliche, right? But when somebody asks us, how are you? I mean, I've always taken issue with that because sometimes I was like, I'm not really fine, but I'm just going to say fine because I don't really want to tell somebody how I'm doing. Or quite frankly, I don't know how I'm doing. And my wife knows this, you know, very, very intimately and stuff. Sometimes, you know, she senses, you know, there's something going on for me and I'm like, well, I think I'm kind of sad or I think I'm kind of upset about something, but I'm not able to even articulate those things and I'm kind of wrestling with that myself. And I think often that's true for many of us, right? You know, we find ourselves just unable to articulate really how we are, especially when we're not fine. And quite frankly, more often than not, we're not fine, right? There's a lot of things that are under the surface that really make us make up who we are. And we're like, you know, are we in touch with those things? And my sense is, well, maybe, but it's kind of a mixed bag. And so if other people don't know how we are, if we don't even know how we are ourselves, where can we go? Where can we turn? And that's where this psalm really speaks to us, is saying, you know, God knows how we are. God knows who we are. God knows the intimate places in our lives. If we are sad about things, God knows us intimately. And we can communicate with him. We can commune with him. We can say, you know, God, I don't have the words to know kind of what I'm feeling or what I'm going through right now, but you know, God. And that's really what the psalm reminds us. You know, God is everywhere, that he knows every aspect of our being, that, you know, he knows when I sit, when I rise. He knows our thoughts from afar. He knows our thoughts intimately. And, you know, if you know God and you say, you know, I want to know God better. I want to know God more intimately. That's hopefully a comforting word. You know, if you're sort of like kind of on the journey to God and say, well, I'm not sure, you know, who God is in my life. I'm not quite sure what that looks like and stuff. That can be maybe a little bit disconcerting. It's like, well, you know, I want to just be kind of hidden. I want to be sort of a little bit away from other people. I was just joking about how, like, if I visit a church, and especially if it's a bigger church, I'll sit in that back row too because I don't want people to know me. I don't want people to know me that I'm a pastor and I just want to come and worship someplace or whatever, right? So we can have that desire sometimes to sort of be kind of on our own and not necessarily feel like we want people to know us. And that's kind of a mixed bag, but God knows us. Amen. God knows our intimate being, and who we are. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain. And so we have this sense, you know, that God protects us. You know, so often we have the sense of, like, you know, we see what's happening in the world and we just think, like, you know, how do we make sense of what God has allowed to happen in some sense, these natural disasters and things. And we say, you know, is God really protecting the people that are being impacted by disasters and by earthquakes and by hurricanes and stuff? And, you know, it's hard to make sense of that. I mean, I don't have clear and kind of coherent answers about, like, you know, how we make sense of that. I mean, you just say, well, you know, Pastor Cameron, why is God allowing this to happen in the world? I mean, that's the crux of the question when people are wrestling with God and they say, you know, I see all this suffering in the world. I see all these things that happen in the world. And how can I make sense of a God who's holy and just and good allowing these things to happen, right? I mean, do you wrestle with those things too? And you look at the news and you say, how can God be allowing these things to happen? And there's no clear answers. I mean, these are the things, these are the questions that I'm going to be raising with God too. It's like, why do you allow these things to happen? Why did you allow suffering to happen? Why did you allow the Holocaust to happen? Genocide, all these different things and stuff. And it's the things that we have to wrestle with. And we just say, well, I don't know how this plays out and stuff, God. But I know for me, you know, at least, you know, I want to believe in my heart of hearts that I am protected by you, God. That in the midst of whatever I go through in this world, there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be different things that we have to go through. And I know and I can trust that, God, you are going to hem me in before me and behind me. You're going to lay your hand upon me and just protect me from the things that I face. And so often we don't always feel like we're protected in the ways we want to be protected. Sometimes we go through physical illnesses. We go through different things. And, you know, I know many people in this room have suffered pain, have suffered loss, have suffered, just a loved one has passed away and stuff prematurely. I mean, all these different things that happen in our lives. And we just say, you know, how is God protecting us in the midst of, you know, losing a loved one? But we have to just believe and trust and say, God, you know, I can't make sense of this. I want to believe this, but I wrestle with sort of, you know, help my unbelief and help me to wrestle with that. But the bottom line is that God does protect us, not always in the ways that we think that we should be protected by him. Sometimes we say, God, take away this suffering, take away this illness, take away whatever these kinds of things are. But so often, a lot of the times that God puts us through these situations so that we can build us up, he can help us go through and build a sense of character in us. And I've seen that very intimately with my oldest daughter who's gone through, she's recovering from a knee injury that took place last year. And I just see how she's changed and how God has really formed her. And I see that across the board. When somebody goes through a difficult situation, my heart breaks for them. I just see like how, you know, I don't want them to go through that. I never want to ask God, put me through some kind of suffering so I can have some kind of character building experience. I'm like, nobody asks for that, right? But when it happens, God works in those things, right? You look back and just look back at any experience that you had where you've had a difficult time, where you've had, whether it's a loss or suffering, whatever, you come out of it. And if you really are able to say, you know, God, you know, help me understand what you're doing in this. He brings you out in a different way. You are changed by those experiences. Amen? And that's, you know, that's kind of the hindsight perspective that we can have when we go through things. That God wants to grow us and challenge us. I mean, because when everything's kind of the status quo and everything stays the same, you know, we can kind of change a little bit. We can be proactive about it. But when God is really pressing with us, he wants to change us. He wants to build our character. And he does protect us. Not often in ways that we think and we anticipate, but he will and he does. And that's a promise of his word. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, and even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Now that's a little unnerving. I don't know for you, but that can be a little unnerving that there's no place that we can go that God does not see what we are doing, right? I mean, so often, you know, we all have issues and secrets and things that we hold on to, right, that nobody else knows about. Sometimes we even hide those things from ourselves. There are things that we kind of hold on to. We just don't want to disclose those things to anybody, even like the closest loved ones and stuff. We have these things that we hold on to. And yet God knows those things. And yet here's the amazing thing is that even in the midst of our brokenness and our shortcomings and stuff, he still loves you. He's still going to press in with you. He's still going to accept you. He's still going to draw you, and he's still going to pursue you. And so God knows all these things. You know, we can hide from God, but he never hides from us. Amen?
Amen.
And you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, that just, you know, that particular verse, verse 14, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I mean, it brings me consolation just to know that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. You know, in the midst of my shortcomings, that God speaks to me, that God speaks to each and every one of us, that we are made in his image and that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made and that we are created by God. Because friends, from the very beginning of time, you know, God created us. And so much of our lives is often kind of wrapped up in sort of figuring out who we are, figuring out who we want to become, especially for young people, you know, what aspirations we have. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a place for that. You know, we all need to be having aspirations, saying, you know, we bring those things before God. We say, you know, God, I want this particular job. I want to have this particular vocation. I want to be this kind of person for my family, for my spouse or my child or whoever, you know, my grandchildren. I want to be this kind of person. I want to be a presence in people's lives. And God honors those things, but it has to be based on a foundation of who He is in us and the identity that we have in Him. Because, you know, whatever outside influences and identities that we allow into our being have to be rooted in a fundamental understanding of our relationship to God. Because when we step back and we reflect on being made fearfully and wonderfully in the very image of God, there's this underlying belief that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. God has made us in His image. God, we don't have to look elsewhere to have others define us. You know, whether it's our job or it's our role in our family or all these different things that you guys talked about and brought up earlier. We don't have to look to those places. I mean, they become part of who we are, and that's okay. But on the flip side, you know, they're based on God's very identity in us. And so friends, you know, where do you find your identity? What are the things when you think about like who you are and how God has created you to be? You know, where are those places that you find your identity? Do you recognize the degree to which you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God? In the image of a perfect God who, I mean, do you embrace that promise of His that He has for us? I mean, you are the Imago Dei, each and every one of you. And do you see yourself made in the image of God? Do you see God's very fingerprints on each and every one of you? And perhaps me, because I have a couple teenage daughters now, including one who's driving. Cool. I'm always mindful of sort of that fragility of just, you know, like how things can be speaking into their minds, the definitions of who we are. And it can be very debilitating and very sobering and very downright sad and frustrating at times. I mean, I feel that myself often, even as a pastor. I think like, okay, you know, like I've been here at this church for 10 years. You know, what's the identity that I'm trying to wrestle with in being a pastor, my vocation, my role as a parent of teenagers, as a parent of growing, amazing young women? I mean, I reflect on these things a lot. And so I want us to, are we going to be able to get that video up? I think I want to show a short video that just kind of reminds us of just sort of, you know, how identity just can really be defined by others and stuff, but God speaks to us in the midst of all this. So let's go ahead and play that. Percy, do you mind turning off the lights there, the one in the far right?
Settle down. Shh. Can I have everyone's attention, please? Thank you. Today's the day where you all will present your selected poetry readings to the class. And I think we're going to start with you, Sarah.
You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you.
Friends, we're not perfect. Life is hard. It's so easy to sort of let those voices of others define who we are. But God is perfect. And there's the rub. That gap that we experience is bridged by the very love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. That despite all of our imperfections, you know, not feeling like we have enough money, not feeling like we're the best parent that we can be, not feeling like we have the job that we want, all these different things that we experience in life. You know, we are loved and accepted by the God of the universe who beckons us to connect with him, to go deeper with him, to be in daily communion with him. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's like good news to my weary soul. Amen? I mean, because, you know, we can be so wearied by perceptions of falling short, of not being good enough, of hearing voices of self-condemnation. I mean, sometimes, you know, those voices don't even come from others. Sometimes those voices come from our very selves. We're like, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. And we are, you know, so influenced by the thoughts of, and opinions of others, but ourselves as well. And God is saying, you can be freed from that. You don't have to be bound by those things, by the voices that you tell yourself that are from the enemy, because you are fearfully and wonderfully and perfectly made in God's very image. And for this reason, you know, we are able to come before God. We are able to experience the acceptance that we have in Christ. And we're reminded of that amazing truth that we are made perfect in Christ through his redemption. And that through his death and through his resurrection, our sins and our shortcomings are washed away. And so as we conclude, I'm going to just invite you to do something a little different. Sarah's going to be coming back in a little bit to do a closing song, but I want to invite you to just kind of turn to somebody, just one or two people around you, and just to ask together, you know, for God to give you that freedom to live into the identity that he has desired for you. Whether maybe it's a confession saying, you know, like, I'm wrestling with this kind of thing. Or maybe you just say, I don't want to say anything, but just go ahead and pray for me. I mean, whatever it may be, but just I want to invite you to go ahead and turn from to somebody next to you, if you have to move around a little bit and stuff. But the reality is, you know, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. And so just kind of mix it up a little bit for a couple minutes, and then we'll be closing in a few minutes. Psalm 139 ends with these closing verses that are really just, I think, a prayer for us as we recognize that, you know, it's a welcoming thing to be ultimately searched by God, to be known by God. And so we end with those closing verses of the psalm, which says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting." So let me invite us to pray together as we close. So Lord, I just thank you, God, for the identity that we ultimately find in you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can know you in the most intimate of ways, Lord. But even as we wrestle with and kind of have our individual journeys towards you, Lord, that you are always pressing in with us, Lord. Even when we try to hide from you and go off and do our own thing and stuff, you are still pursuing us, Lord. You are still seeking us, Lord. And so we just thank you, God, for just the reality of who you are, and that we can have those closing verses of Psalm 139 be a prayer to us, that we can say to you, God, that you would search me, that you would know my heart, that you would test me, that you would know my anxious thoughts, and to see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand together for our closing song that Sarah will be leading with us. Mm-hmm.